Mornings with Bucky and Aaron are brought to you by Bud Light.
What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
Broadcasting live from the greatest city in the world.
Austin, Texas, baby.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
You guys want to play some twos?
You know what? Actually, we're kind of in the middle of a conversation.
B&E.
What's B&E?
Bucky Godbolt, Aaron Hogan on the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260 and hornfm.com with the Longhorns Play and Austin Talks Sports.
You think we've gotten too radical with our message? Well, I got news for you. You ain't heard nothing yet. And if you don't know, now you know. Glory, glory! You better put them hands together.
Put them together for Friday, also for the changing weather pattern. Overcast, drizzly. Haven't seen this in a while in Central Texas. There's no doubt about that. The rain of yesterday out of Camp Mabry, the first measurable rainfall in 51 days. 51 days, going on 2 months without measurable rainfall. Got some yesterday for sure. Most of it central to east. Hopefully we get more today and then certainly more tomorrow into next week. I think the weekend looks like a hot, mostly dry one with a chance for showers. But then next week, every single day, a really wet weather pattern which could soak Central Texas, which we could certainly use. Your yard, my yard, golf courses, the streams.
I don't have a yard, E.
You live downtown.
Well, I've got some AstroTurf on my balcony. That's the extent of my yard.
You're a downtown liver.
Yeah.
You've been there a while now. Are you still enjoying the downtown life?
Yeah, I've been down there 14 years, in fact, and going to be moving over towards Rainey Street here in a couple months.
To one of the new developments?
Yeah, 44 East, brand new high-rise going on East Avenue. So I'll have a nice skillet shot, western-facing view right down Lady Bird Lake. It's going to be nice.
And you're going to be joined by about 10 more sky rises in the next 5 years. So
there'll be about 20 more buildings 20. Going up in the next 5 or 6 years.
Development is on in Austin, Texas. No doubt. Hey, so Johnny Rogers is with us. Bucky returns on Monday. And there was a time where you didn't have a vehicle. Is that no longer?
I didn't have a vehicle for 4 years.
No car.
Rented out both of my parking spaces for $250 a pop. That takes care of my HOAs. Nice. Right? And so at that time, you had Car2Go, which was those little smart cars that you could just walk up to.
Golf carts with doors.
Yeah, you jump in and you move around. But what was great is that Car2Go, they changed from the smart cars to Mercedes.
I remember that.
So I was cruising in a Mercedes, just walk up to a vehicle, put your card on it, and it's just like a taxi. You just take off in it.
Yeah.
But there was
leave it wherever you.
Yeah, just leave it there or take it back home.
Yeah.
So I didn't have a car payment, didn't have any insurance. Was renting out my parking spaces. It was great. I'd meet clients at, a home or whatever. Or if I had people coming in for the weekend, you rent a car. It's $50 a day.
Yeah.
So, but then I started working on the Driftwood project down and out there by the Salt Lick with Discovery Land Company. So I needed my own vehicle to be able to get down there. So finally got a car.
It's a little bit of a haul down there to Driftwood.
It gets expensive when you're trying to Uber down to, to Driftwood.
All right. Well, Johnny Rogers here. He'll be here tomorrow as well with Casey Studdard on the Big Ugly Tailgate.
3 straight days.
We will also get you – there's a new twist here. We know yesterday the mega media deal with the Big Ten was announced officially, and it's a big number. But there could be a little bit of a kink in this whole thing. Details coming. First, let's get you your headlines, trending topics you need to know as you're up and out on a Friday morning. Top Gun Equipment Rentals bringing you the news. Brandon Mars and his great team over there. Texas football hoping to be a good team this year. They were back on the practice field yesterday following their day off Wednesday. Team will go pretty physical workout yesterday, by the way. Team goes a little lighter today ahead of tomorrow's all-important full squad scrimmage. Texas expected to begin game prep and install for their season opener at Louisiana Monroe early next week. So tomorrow's game-like atmosphere and competition is going to go a long way to finalizing that depth chart, determine who gets first-team reps on both sides of the ball when next week gets going. As for the quarterbacks, after practice yesterday, Steve Sarkisian had this to say.
I think I have a pretty good idea, but, I want to give these guys an opportunity to compete, so that's what we'll do.
All right, brief, but one more scrimmage to come up with the final, but feels like he knows where he's going. Big news yesterday, how about quarterback decision made in Lincoln, Nebraska? Nebraska head coach Scott Frost announced that the former Texas quarterback, Casey Thompson, is going to be the starter when the Cornhuskers open their season August 27th. That's 8 days from now, a week from tomorrow. They're going to play Northwestern to start the season. Big news from the NFL. Official word that the Cleveland Browns quarterback, Deshaun Watson, and the NFL have agreed come to an agreement on an 11-game suspension that puts an end to the appeal of the original suspension of 6 games handed down by the league's arbitrator earlier this month. Watson's also going to have to pay a $5 million fine and must undergo counseling. What do you know? Watson will be eligible to return to face his former team, the Houston Texans, on December the 4th. NFL preseason week 2 did open last night. Ugly game in Seattle. Bears went into Seattle and walloped the Seahawks 27-11. Three more preseason games tonight, and that includes the Texans. Houston in action tonight. They're going to go to L.A. to face the Rams. Cowboys are going to follow Houston into that very same stadium, SoFi Stadium in L.A. They'll play the L.A. Chargers tomorrow night. Dallas and the Lightning Bolts wrapped up 2 days of joint practices yesterday. Baseball, told you Astros and Rangers both won day games yesterday. Astros scored 21 runs in a 21-5 win over the White Sox. Rangers scored 10, clubbed the A's 10-2. Round Rock lost to El Paso 2-1. And in golf, they'll tee off round 2 of the B&W Championship in Wilmington, Delaware today. Keegan Bradley is your clubhouse leader after the first round. Tried to fire to 64. He's one better than Adam Scott, two better than Shane Lowry and Tyrell Hatton.
Horn Headlines brought to you by Top Gun Rentals and Lawn Equipment. Hot temps call for hot deals. So get up to $600 off the entire Raptor line of Hustler Zero Turn mowers in August at Top Gun. TopGun.net. We'll shoot you straight.
All right, so here's actually, before we get into the Big Ten's deal and possible issue, I want to get Isaiah Collier's thoughts on the quarterback dilemma. Because in my own head, Johnny, I'm going around and trying to think along with the coach.
Mm-hmm.
And we just talked to Brian Davis of the Statesman. We've got reports out there that the lean for Steve Sarkisian is Hudson Card. And you know, you're thinking, people have asked the fair question, what's going to happen with the big money donors who, you know, NILs, and these guys driving in a, you know, a Maserati or whatever he's driving, he's going to be playing backup quarterback. You know, there's a big part of me that thinks, okay, the program's in year two under its new head coach. The coach is recruiting his tail off. They're adding talent. The way to go is to put the kid out there and let him take his lumps. He's got the higher ceiling than the third-year player. He's the future. Put him out there. But then there's the other side of it that if you're watching practice and you're Steve Sarkisian, you say, look, this is a pretty good team on offense. We got a lot of weapons. I just need the, I don't want to say game manager, I just need the guy who makes the fewest mistakes, because it would be unfair to our locker room to not
go. I don't think it's bad to say game manager. Well, that's exactly what you need this year.
Yeah, someone who moves the chains.
Don't turn the ball over.
Right. And, again, is that what's best big picture? I mean, you may take some lumps. We talked about Sam Ellinger starting as a freshman, and, boy, there were some high highs but some low lows, mm-hmm. and it was ugly at times.
But do you feel like that served him well in year two, in year three?
Yeah, it did. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Like, that's where I go round and round. Say, where are you on this quarterback battle? Do you do what's best for the right now, or are you looking bigger picture?
I think it depends on how close Card and Quinn Ewers are on putting on the field. If they're as close as everybody's saying they are, then I'd throw Quinn Ewers out there because it's all about the future, and mm-hmm. I'd let him take his bumps, you know, these first few games until it gets to the Big 12. You're not really tripping on that. And I know everybody's worried about Alabama and whatnot, but if you get drove by Alabama, you could still win the Big 12, and it could be an excellent season.
Sure.
So I'd throw Quinn Ewers out there if it's pretty tight, but we all know that the locker room is going to tell all at the end of the day.
Yeah, well, and that's where I say if OrangeBloods.com and that team is right on their reporting, then it's going to be Hudson Card unless something dramatic changes tomorrow at the scrimmage. Then, you know, it's that would mean to me that it hasn't been even in camp,
right.
That actually Hudson has outperformed Quinn significantly. And maybe that's the case. Maybe that is.
Yeah, you don't want the quarterback who, you know, didn't mess up to be the guy.
And I don't think Sark.
Right.
Would you
want someone to go out there and get it.
Yeah. And to today's point about the locker room, if he's played poorly over the 3 weeks of camp or the, you know, 2 weeks and a half now, and you go with him, what how does that serve the locker room? Like guys like Bijan Robinson, Roschon Johnson, who have said, look, we're the team leaders. We're a player-led team. Well, if you go in and the coach picks the guy that didn't perform as well as the other guy,
they'll know it.
That doesn't go well. No. I mean, whatever.
These kids aren't stupid.
Right.
They can see with their own eyes, and they know what the chemistry is with both of those guys.
Well, I've talked to a lot of NFL players who say, you know, you'll see these hotshot rookie high draft picks come in, and you'll know in a week if they can play or not.
Yeah.
Like, rarely are you wrong. If you've been in the league for a while, kids show up, within a week you can tell if they're a player.
Yeah. Stutter talks about that a lot on the Big Ugly Tailgate.
Yes, he does.
Yeah.
And I've heard it from him. I've heard it from a lot of guys. They missed on that one. I mean, and the players know pretty quick. Now, that's at the professional level, but college players, they get it. And it'll be interesting. And here's what I wonder. I don't know if Sark will ever admit this. If he does pick Hudson Card, because he told us before camp that he kind of knows where it's going and he wants to make a decision sooner, is that what he anticipated happening? Yeah. Or did things not go as planned? That's kind of where I'm at with the whole thing. But we'll see. Good point, Zay, from your side. But yeah, you can if you go. I keep saying Alabama can only beat you one time.
Mm-hmm.
It's 11. It's 12 games. Alabama's the best team in the country. ESPN just put out a list of the top 100 players in college football. Number one and number two are Alabama players. They're really good. So whoever plays quarterback, you're not winning that game,
right,
most likely. But so what gets you ready for the other 11 games? What's the best direction for the Big 12 conference?
Yeah, look at a little bit more macro view of the season.
Yeah. But I do feel like it's pretty clear Sark wants to name a quarterback and wants that quarterback to get the significantly more first-team reps starting next week, mm-hmm. wants that team to be able, that player to be able to take over the locker room and lead from the jump and be the guy. And Sark has said openly that he said it to us, but then the story from ESPN's Chris Lowe this week that dropped where he said, I don't want to be rotating quarterbacks. I as a quarterback, I don't think it's good. I don't think it's good for your locker room. I don't think it's good for the quarterbacks. We're not going to be in the business of rotating QBs. So a lot of subplots there and storylines in the days of our quarterback lives. We'll take your thoughts on it. There's also a lot of subplots in the days of the NFL quarterback lives, Johnny. Let me think. Your brother's the assistant head coach with the Arizona Cardinals.
Yes.
What's your outside feel on Kyler Murray? In this whole offseason, how it's played out.
From what standpoint? Is he going to be successful?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, okay.
Yeah, I mean, Kyler Murray's got he is a really, really good athlete, a really good football player. He can make all of those throws. The problem that Kyler's had is that he hasn't been able to stay healthy because he is a mobile quarterback and maybe take some hits that are unnecessary.
Yeah. But he's got
some serious weapons, especially week 7 when DeAndre Hopkins comes back. Because you got DeAndre, you've got Rondale Moore, you've got Hollywood Brown, you got Zach Ertz.
Yeah.
And James Conner.
Well, and here's what I want. I'm talking about, is he a championship? Look, he won the Heisman Trophy.
Mm-hmm.
He never lost a high school game. I get it. But you know this. You know, your brothers know this. The NFL is a different beast.
Mm-hmm.
They're all professionals. They're all really good. What separates the good from the great is the work off the field.
Yeah.
It's the extra stuff. Mm-hmm. It's the continuing to evolve as a player. Michael Jordan was the best player in the NBA, but he did something every offseason to get better.
Every summer, he worked on one piece of his game.
To get better.
Yeah.
To continue to evolve. Does Kyler Murray, in your opinion, your brother's the assistant head coach there, have that intangible that I'm going to continue to drive myself to be better?
He has won at every level
right.
in his career.
Right.
I mean, Pee-wee, middle school, high school, college, Heisman. You know, got into the NFL, first-round draft pick.
Took Oklahoma to the playoffs.
Yeah,
in the playoffs.
The kid has never not had success, right? So if you're asking me to put my money on it, yeah, absolutely. Kyler Murray is that dude.
All right. Good stuff. And we're still wondering where Tom Brady is, by the way. Speaking of guys who continue to evolve, Tom Brady's still not in Tampa camp. That's the Cowboys' first game, by the way. Cowboys play the Tampa Bay Buccaneers week 1 of the NFL season. We'll talk some NFL coming up because the Cowboys do play the Chargers. Your other brother is the assistant coach.
I'll tell you what, I feel a whole lot better about Herbert than just about any quarterback right now. That guy is the future of the league.
All right, here's the Big Ten story. Now, we know that the Big Ten announced their mega deal. We were anticipating it would come down. It came down yesterday officially. And it's mega. It's mega. It's Fox as the main driver. CBS and NBC are on board as well. Total money over $1 billion per year. Andrew Brandt, the business of sports guy for Sports Illustrated, Bucky's good buddy, and he comes on our show quite a bit. He put this out, that annual national media revenue per deals. NFL, $10 billion. $10 billion they make in media rights as a league.
Man.
European Premier League, $4.2 billion. NBA, $2.6 billion. MLB, $1.96 billion. Big Ten, $1.1 billion.
Jeez.
Right in line. Just behind the MLB. Ahead of the Big Ten, the NHL, and way ahead of the SEC now. So, big money.
And as SEC still has theirs coming up. So, whatever the Big Ten just did, we're going to see what happens
with
that.
Because ESPN, that thing's inked and it starts on the... Because I'll say this for the SEC, the Big Ten was smarter in this. Is they got first dibs,
mm-hmm.
and we've told you a lot of the belief is that they scuttled the expansion of the college football playoff, which was going to be voted on this summer, so they could get this deal done ahead of the bidding for that.
Yeah,
they wanted the deepest pockets,
and they got it.
And they got it. And they did it, you know, essentially when the SEC cut out CBS and went exclusively ESPN, so it's all ESPN, and they're putting in good money. But the Big Ten said, you know what, we're going to get multiple bidders, and we're going to go NFL style, and we're going to have Fox as our main, but then we're going to have CBS, and we're going to have NBC. And when you consider that CBS has put in $350 million annually, NBC is putting the same to carry the primetime game, and you know, Fox is over almost $500 million. Well, there's your $1 billion, yeah. And you got them from three different. Here's the question, though. Here's the issue. And I pointed it out yesterday. I felt like one of the big keys is the escalator clauses in the New Deal, which, you know, this thing could rise to over, you know, to even more. And that would, to me, the escalators mean the Big Ten has built it in with their media partners that if they add schools.
The right schools.
That they probably already agreed upon
behind
the scenes. But if they add more schools, that the money will stay the same for all the schools, right? So you're going to put more money in when we add four more schools so that the number stays the same for all of us, right? And so that escalator gives me belief that they are going to expand. And I don't wonder, because now the story this morning that is out that is bears paying attention to is the Board of Regents out in California, that they are again dusting up, that they're going to try to stop UCLA from going. That they're going to try to get in the way of UCLA from going.
And that's because UCLA is a public school, whereas USC is private.
That is correct. USC is a private school. They can do what they want. But here it is. The leaders of the University of California education system are, according to a new report, weighing all options. The UC leadership have proposed a rule limiting the ability of member institutions from making major athletics decisions unilaterally. Exactly the kind of decision that UCLA made. And the governor's involved, Gavin Newsom, who most people think is going to run for president at some point. He's involved. And this is where I wonder, you know, the Big Ten, I know they USC is the big fish that they wanted. They were happy to take UCLA as well because you get the entire Los Angeles market, which is the number two market in the country for viewing. But you wonder if, because if they went ahead and said, you know, okay, we're going to expand four more and take Oregon, Washington, Cal and Stanford, that solves the problem.
Yeah.
Because Cal would come with UCLA and they'd get the equal share. I mean, if you're Gavin Newsom and you're the politicos in California, that's what you should be pushing for.
Yeah.
Not preventing. I mean, think about UCLA. They're in a position that if they take this deal and go on their own and fight for it, it's the difference between $100 million annually in revenue and $20 million a year. It's $80 million in difference, yet the state house in California is threatening to get in the way of it.
Yeah. I mean, UCLA was fixing a shutdown sports program.
Without a doubt. And that's the thing, right? They're talking about fairness. UCLA would come back and say, wait a second. If we don't get this, we're going to start canceling sports. I mean, we have over 500 athletes at UCLA, and they will not have a scholarship anymore or a team to play on because we are that far in the red. We need this deal.
No doubt.
We need this deal. And you wonder, I mean, you know, California politicos don't always do the smartest things. I mean, you're really going to get away in the way of
that? Do they ever do any smart things out there?
Well,
that's why everybody's coming here.
Well, hey, guess what? Here, your Austin City Council last night, while you were sleeping, gave themselves a 40% pay raise. Thank you.
Absolutely. Seems like, you know, maybe a little tone deaf, but yeah, let's put
Did you see that? While you were sleeping last night, the Austin City Council, 40% pay bump.
Damn, 40?
40%.
Not 10.
While they're still talking about trying to raise the minimum wage for city employees. But hey, let's give ourselves a 40,000 or 40% raise.
40%.
Now, city council is a very thankless job.
Yes,
so I understand it to some extent, but most of the people on the council, this isn't their main source of income.
Correct.
They've already made a good living elsewhere. So it's not like they're literally living off of this salary. So, but hey, yeah, go ahead, city council, give yourself a raise.
40%.
Nerds.
I didn't have power yesterday for about 5 hours.
Yeah. Oh, you lost power?
Oh, yeah.
How many inches did you get last night, Zach?
I don't even know. 78729. I have no idea.
78729. Yeah, so again, you know, 40% raise. As for California, we'll see. There are some that believe that California is just kind of blustering.
Yeah.
They realize that the financial windfall for UCLA is too great to prevent them from going.
You know how much APD got a raise? 1%.
Yeah.
But hey, city council deserves 40.
Yeah, APD.
Yeah.
1%. 40!
Mm-hmm.
Like, I get it. It's a thankless job.
Laughable. Now, there were three members of the city council that voted against it, and they were the three youngest of the city council members. All the old guys were like, yeah, let's make it rain around here.
Because again, in California, they're going to talk about fairness. And, well, is it fair to have UCLA have to cut multiple athletic programs?
No.
If to stay in the Pac-12, which is a dying conference anyhow.
Stay out of this. Stay out of college sports.
Well, especially when you consider Gavin Newsom and the folks in California were the trailblazer on professionalizing college athletics.
They were.
They were the one pushing the NIL and making it a state law before anyone else. So you Gavin Newsom can't have that both ways. You can't say, oh, yeah, well, these players deserved it. And I do agree. When you see billion-dollar TV media rights deals, if you're still complaining about players cutting NIL deals, come on. But you can't push for that and then say, oh, no, you can't chase the money, UCLA. That's not fair. Actually, it is. It's what they – yeah, it's $80 million.
It's politics. It's hypocritical, everything
do. Let me say this again. That's not $80 million one time. That's $80 million every year in difference. Mm-hmm. Every year in difference.
Hell, that might be able to pull California out of the hole.
And they're going to the big – I do think the escalators in that new contract would indicate that they're planning to expand further. I think they're kind of waiting on that whole Notre Dame thing, but Notre Dame shows no signs of wanting to join anybody's conference. And they believe having NBC a part of this thing is big for them because it means NBC's got more skin in the game.
No doubt.
They've got more investment in college football, which is good for them because that's where they play. All right, we'll be back. We'll hit our Flex segment coming up. We'll also hit the other top stories, some more days of our quarterback lives. And what say you on the Longhorns with the reports that it's leaning Hudson Card? What's that going to mean for you when if that decision is the one we get coming up on Monday? We will also have a little salacious gossip and a blitz for the end of the hour. It's B&E on a busy and how about wet Friday morning.
Hell
take
yeah.
It.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Hey, somebody said Austin Fire Department got a 4% raise. APD 1, City Council 40.
40!
Is that a misprint? This says on Twitter, at Aaron Hogan, E-R-I-N-H-O-G-A-N-E, you talked about how California politicians shouldn't be in conference realignment. Agreed, but didn't Texas politicians do the same with the Longhorns to the SEC? They had some hearings. When they got involved, they did what they're supposed to do for their constituents, but they didn't do anything to block it. In California, they're threatening to block the move.
Yeah.
Like, literally block the move. And as somebody said, the regents in California's job is to also protect Cal. Well, I mean...
Cal's going to get taken care of.
I mean, well, that would be the argument if the Big Ten expands and they add Cal. But at the same time, and, you know, the Big Ten, with its academic prowess, would love to add Stanford and Cal to its resume of great academic schools to go with Northwestern and Michigan and the like. But same time, I mean, look, Cal is a university. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's been talk at Cal of disbanding football. There's been a push to not do it anymore because it's such a liberal school that they don't want to be in the big business of college football.
Then get out. Beat it. But don't prevent UCLA from going to try to make money for the rest of the whole school system.
Yeah, and for all the athletes on the campus, and if you're pushing for, you know, freedoms for the players and money for student athletes and the right thing, well, then this is the right thing for UCLA. But I get it. They've got to do what politicians will do, but I don't think they should be involved. But that's the thing. I mean, to say they shouldn't be involved, they got involved on the NIL. Mm-hmm. They were the first state to push through the legislation.
It just doesn't make any sense. It's completely hypocritical.
Agreed. But that's where that's at. We'll keep an eye on it. This comes on the heels of the Big Ten's new mega monster deal that was announced yesterday. And now the system in California trying to put up a roadblock potentially. And we'll keep an eye on that storyline. We've also got football on the brain with Steve Sarkisian and a decision to make. And, you know, it's not just the quarterback position. That's the most important position and the highlight position. But, you know, there's a lot of decisions to be made at this scrimmage tomorrow. And we'll talk more about it coming up at the top of the hour. Where are the big position battles? Because, as we've said, coming out of that scrimmage, you start game planning and installing for your opponent. The first teamers are going to get the first team reps. And they're going to start seeing more of the field. And they want to get, you know, ready to go against their first opponent, and then, of course, Alabama beyond that. But before we get to our Flex segment, can we once again hit the Horn Top 20 countdown? We are at number 6, just outside the top 5. Obviously, we'll count down your 5 top teams next week, but how about number 6?
When you put that uniform on, you better come to work.
It's the Horn Top 20, brought to you by Allstat Beer. No impurities, no regrets. Number 6, the USC Trojans.
We'll be right back. All right. One of the legendary fight songs.
I hear that song so many times when you play against
the Men of Troy. Yes, you do.
Just over and over and over.
You think
again.
On a per minute basis, you hear more this or Boomer Sooner when you're in the Oklahoma Texas Oklahoma game.
Equally disgusting on both.
Equally. But this one's got that the beat. Yeah. Love it. Now, again, this is
kind of cool because it kind of you think of the old school Trojan Army.
Oh, yeah.
You know, marching to victory. I get that.
No, this is a classic.
It's horrible.
Yeah, but it's perfect for the Sooners. You know what I'm saying? Now that's great. That is a march if there ever was one. And USC, this is controversial. Even some USC fans of ours are saying you guys are out of your minds. They were 4-8 last year. They fired their coach. And yeah, I mean it's speculative. It completely is. I think they're going to win the Pac-12. And
really going to come down between them and Utah.
Yeah.
And that matchup's going to basically decide the Pac-12.
Well, and that's the issue, right? I mean, and I said this from the jump when we met at Cover 3 talking about the speculative process of picking a top 20.
Mm-hmm.
You know, who's going to win the conferences? That's really the first thing. I think Alabama's going to win the SEC, so I have them up high. I think Ohio State's really high. I think, you know, the ACC is interesting with Clemson. Big 12, Baylor. With Oklahoma State, and Texas, but we've got Baylor as the team that most likely to repeat with their lines of scrimmage. And then in the Pac-12, here you go. I mean, typically in college football, in years past, the obvious pick would be Utah. The
yes.
Utes without a doubt.
It's not the sexy pick, but it's...
Well, but it's the 18-year coach. It's most talent returning, won the conference last year, Cam Rising, and they very well might win the Pac-12. But if someone's going to beat them, it's USC because mm-hmm. of the transfer portal. They didn't just add players. They added star players.
Stars.
And a head coach.
Six of them on offense.
Caleb Williams at quarterback. Jordan Addison is the Blitnikoff winning wide receiver to go with Mario Williams, who was the best receiver at Oklahoma. The running back in from Oregon, who was a really good player.
Travis Dye.
I mean, they didn't just add players. They added star players.
Now, they're not bringing guys in from the portal from junior colleges or,
no.
you know, Southwest Missouri State. They're bringing in guys from Oklahoma. They're bringing in guys. I mean, they're bringing guys in from across the country, Oregon, you know, Oklahoma, everywhere.
And the question becomes, does that star power overtake a Utah who, you know, we've seen them. They're a really solid program, really good. But when they get up against a team with really great athletes and then high-end stars, they don't compete. I mean, they'll win.
Struggle, for sure.
Right. And so, and they bring in Lincoln Riley, who's a premier offensive mind and developer of quarterbacks, who brings his quarterback with him, who already knows his system. And so, it's controversial, but they only bring back three on defense. And so Alex Grinch, who came with Lincoln Riley to run the D,
mm-hmm.
you know, that'll be a big question. I also like for USC on the positive side, I like their schedule. I really do. I think they have the first four or five games are very winnable. Rice at Stanford. Stanford's been a bad team the last several years.
Yeah, struggling the past 3 years.
Fresno State at home, at Oregon State, Arizona State at home, Washington State at home. Those are their first six games. Those are all very winnable. You win those, you're 6-0, and you go to Utah. And Utah's the team to beat. Well, you could lose that game, get a bye week, and then run the table from there where the toughest game remaining is at UCLA and then home to Notre Dame.
Mm-hmm.
They could get back into the championship game because, remember, they got rid of the North and South in the Pac-12 this year. It's winning percentage that gets you into the conference championship game. I'm going to take USC just by an eyelash over Utah. We will see.
I'm leaning more towards Utah. I think, you know, they've got more cohesive units coming back. I think, what, you say 8-7 on different sides of the ball coming back on offense and defense?
8 on offense, but then all the additions, and then – you know, only 3 on defense, and that's going to be the big question for
gotcha.
Alex Grinch. Hey, it is after 8:30 on the Show of the People. You know what that makes it. Flex 30 time.
Flex ATX for the best high school sports coverage. Listen to the horn and go to FLXATX.com.
Yeah, look who's in the house. It's a Friday morning. He's about to be a TV star on Fox TV this morning as well. But he is our man.
TV star.
He is the boss over at Flex ATX. Man in charge. He's been all over all over town.
Yeah.
You were at a Round Rock Dragons scrimmage, Snoop. You were at an Austin High Maroons scrimmage. Snoop Daniel is here. Snoop,
hey.
Now, before we get to where you're going this weekend,
yeah.
what were some takeaways you had from that Round Rock scrimmage with all the talent there?
University of Texas, you're getting a good lineman in Jaden Chapman. We just went ahead and did a couple of posts of him. I mean, he's a legit 6'4".
They played Harker Heights.
They did. Oh, yeah, by the way, I'm just speaking so candidly about these kids I cover every day of my life. But, yeah, UT commit Harker Heights. He was wearing number 70. They're trying to hide him incognito. he was obviously Jaden Chapman. I'm like, he had on a different I'm like, why y'all got him in a different jersey? And they're like, oh, well, we can't be too obvious.
Like everybody knows, he's the biggest kid on the field.
So, but we got, we saw Ansel Nador, the recent Texas Tech commit for Round Rock. Jalen Gilbert, the recent Washington State commit. And Leonard Moore, one of our All-Flex preseason watch list guys, had an interception right in front of me. And you can check it out on social media at FLXATX. Dude was like, it's mine, it's mine. All the confidence in the world, still just a junior. 40 Acres might need to look at him.
Awesome. All right, so Snoop always posting, hey, 40 Acres, keep an eye on the guy Snoop's watching. Snoop is a great evaluator of high school talent. Yes, you are. You've been doing it a long time. You know a good baller.
Okay, that's what's up.
You know a baller when you see one. I mean, you're a baller on a budget, but you know baller.
I am. You know, in fact, speaking of ballers, Charles Wright's little brother for UT, the quarterback, third string, I guess. Little brother's name is Nelson Wright. He is a sophomore this year, class of 2025. He plays tight end for the Austin High Maroons. Dude is a huge target. Now, I'm not saying he's going to be Charles Wright, but he could pave his own path. So if you're looking for bloodlines, DNA, storylines at Austin High, the Wright family ain't done yet.
Yeah, there you go. And they have a new head coach there. Bernard Riley is in his first year. Our friend Mike Rosenthal, you told me this story, Snoop, that he moved to California. Mike Rosenthal, I used to do a radio show with, and he was the head coach and AD at Austin High for years.
Notre Dame tight end?
Yes. Notre Dame offensive lineman.
Offensive lineman.
8 years in the NFL. And then, of course, and he is wife, what do they have, five children.
Yeah.
But he has a son who's a great volleyball player. Like, his wife was a volleyball player at Notre Dame. And they have daughters that play volleyball. But there's not a high school program for men's volleyball. So apparently Coach Rosenthal moved out to California with his son so he could gain residency and play high school volleyball.
Makes sense. Give him
a chance to play beyond high school. So Rosie's out there. Of course, Mama stayed back, but I believe is the way that worked. But they have a new coach. What do we know about Bernard Riley?
Oh, he is the defensive coordinator. All these years prior, he's been a very vocal coach, so it's a natural progression because he's usually getting in their tails for, you know, back in the day when Mike was kind of hanging back. So natural progression. He was working up a sweat last night at Pete Field.
He's been at Austin High, is that what
he has, as a defensive coordinator.
So you had Austin High playing who last night?
Connolly. Pflugerville Connolly. You know, it's just the ascension of Weiss and so many Division I prospects from that Pflugerville school. The Pflugerville's area's forgotten school, quote-unquote, is Connolly. Jason Cecil, former Stony Point coordinator, a former McCallum coach, he is still steadying the ship. And now they're in District 11, 5AD2. Along with Elgin, so they got a chance, and the regular Pflugerville Panthers, so they got a chance to win this year.
Where are you going this weekend?
Oh, Lord. Well, weather permitting.
Hey, now.
Westlake Cedar Park.
Good one.
This is a very interesting try scrimmage. It's Maynard, Temple, and Killeen, all three together.
Interesting. How are they going to do that? That's interesting. Rotate?
Yeah, rotate three in a scrimmage. And then
I've never even heard of that.
It's crazy, right? And
cool.
Formerly Lanier High School, now Navarro High School, they're holding an intra-squad scrimmage. So the whole gamut, we'll keep you posted, FLXATX.com.
There you go. And we know the season begins 6 days.
Oh, yes.
So you got Austin High and Westlake with first-year head coaches coming from the defensive side of the ball.
Yeah, the rivalry.
Bingo.
The rivalry.
There's a lot of new head coaches this year all over the area, so we're really in a time of change and entering a new era.
Yeah, and of course, that out of Zay's alma mater, Bowie, Jeff Abels has been there for like 68 years, I believe, as the head football
coach. Opposite end of the
Still
spectrum.
Let the dogs out.
Yeah, who lets the dogs out in that rivalry,
too. Yeah, they got Mr. Ridge with one.
So 6 days. Now, we know that Bucky will be part of the Lake Travis broadcast next Thursday night at Arlington Martin. They're going to play at Choctaw Field, the former ballpark at Arlington. It's now a high school football venue. When's the Taco Shack Bowl?
That is also Thursday night. House Park.
Come on. Taco
Shout out Shack. To Orlando Arriaga, who sponsored that thing now for almost 20 years and been a big part. He's a former McCallum student and owns all of the Taco Shacks across town. So he's, you know, he's...
The Taco Shack Bowl. Awesome.
Yes. Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, man,
Anderson McCallum.
That's an annual grudge match right there in
North
Austin. I
feel Anderson's going to have an advantage in this game, but, you know, nice proof.
That's what we look forward to. Now, you'll be on Fox TV this morning with your crew there at 9:45. Shout us out, JR, myself, and
I got you, JR.
This past Wednesday was your final Wednesday night flex show. It's moving to Friday night for Friday Night Lights.
Regular season. Wednesday was fun and allowed us to go out and be on the scene at games on Tuesdays and Fridays. But, yeah, Friday nights, we'll have you pregame about an hour before the Lake Travis broadcast. And, of course, the Vandegrift Vipers, don't sleep on them on 1260 and 101.9.
All right. And so, Snoop, full-time, FLXATX.com. If you need it, it's there. And all the socials, too. I mean, nobody pours more content on the Instagram or Twitter than you do.
Who else has Brett Beatty basketball and high school baseball clips right now besides FLXATX? And original.
How cool is that, by the way?
We ain't swagger jacking on Flex.
Swagger jacking.
We get
That's
jacked.
A new one for you this weekend, Johnny.
Yeah. Is that in relation to homie hopping?
Oh, I like that.
Homie hopping, swagger jacking.
Like that.
Real quick, because you guys were on air when Beatty hit that home run. I know you covered Brett when he was at Lake Travis. You know, my son Nolan, your co-host there, played against Brett.
Class of 2019.
And how cool was that? On the air, he hits a home run.
Oh, I lost my stuff. Like, I think Harge and him heard me lose. You know, I reacted the same way when Baker Mayfield was taken first overall in the NFL draft. Like, what is the ultimate dream as an NFL player? First overall pick, NFL draft. Ultimate dream from an MLB player, home run on your first at bat. I lost it.
That's awesome.
I mean, and Brett the Met. Come on, fam.
Brett the Met.
That's the thing that Hall of Fame careers are made of. Like, he could go 0 for 100 in that first home run.
Well, and the coolest thing is the picture of he and Garrett Wilson when they're, like, in Pop Warner football, like, 8th grade. And now both are in New York. One's a Met, one's a Jet, and they're both in the National Hall of Fame, big-time pro ball.
And how great for all of Brett's friends and family that for the next couple of years they all get to take this journey together in the Major League Baseball.
Absolutely. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah. Donnie Lauterbach, by the way, took that original picture when Garrett Wilson and Brett Beatty was, because I see it all over the nation. Everybody's using that photo. Donnie, you're immortalized.
That's awesome. Credit where credit is due. And credit when you are due. Bring it next. It's the Blitz, 447-3776. There's your Flex update. Go to Flex ATX. Load up the Blitz. Little gossip, but it's your time to shine coming next.
Where you get that from? Did Tawana tell you that? Did Tawana tell you that? Because I ain't for no games, okay?
Salacious Gossip is brought to you by Bud Light. You know it, you love it, you got to have it every morning. Ahead of your Blitz, Bud Light's, of course, you know it and love it and have to have as well. Hope you're doing it this weekend. We've got a lot of NFL preseason games. Texans play the Rams tonight. Hopefully any of these games are better than the Seahawks-Bears dreck that we were treated to last night. Also, I'll be tuned in, locked in on a couple things this weekend, having some Bud Lights, I promise you. The Astros-Braves series is compelling to me. Astros-Braves, rematch of the World Series. Both teams playing well right now. And Lance McCullers goes for Houston tonight. And then the golf. I'll be watching the BMW Championship from Wilmington, Delaware. Keegan Bradley in the lead. But and all the football. Watching the wire to see how this Longhorn scrimmage goes tomorrow. Do all of it with the ice-cold Bud Lights. Get out and see some live music. Get out and have some fun with the ice-cold Bud Light. Now, once again, the official domestic beer partner of the University of Texas, the athletic department, and, of course, the Texas Texas and Texas OU game. Do it with a nice Bud Light. You know, they've got that burnt orange can now. You're going to be able to get at the stadium. Really cold, really good. You're going to love those. Be looking for them.
They're back.
It's football season's running. Maybe some fan. It's still too early for your fantasy football draft, by the way. If you're in a league where you're already having the draft, you got to wait till Labor Day.
Yeah, I need one more week at least.
Got to find out who's hurt. Where's Tom Brady? Tom Brady coming back or not? What the hell's going on? CeeDee Lamb, how hurt is he? You got to know all these things. Now, you'll still have some injuries you have to make decisions on, but the closer you are to actual games, the more you'll know. Yeah. So don't go too early. Hey, by the way, speaking of football players, you've been telling me since you've been here the last couple days that I need to see the Manti Te'o documentary on Netflix.
Absolutely incredible. It's called Untold, and Netflix has done a couple of untold stories. They did one with Marty Fish, who dealt with a lot of mental anxiety going into the U.S. Open against Federer and all that. But they take the Manti Te'o story, and it takes you back to when all that was happening and how incredible of a senior year Manti Te'o had and how far he came down afterwards.
Yeah, I'm going to have to watch. I've been looking for a good doc to check out.
It's really good.
Have you seen that?
No, it's on Netflix, though, right?
Yeah. Netflix. Yeah.
And it gets into some really weird
places. That guy
places.
Had a girlfriend who didn't exist for 3 years.
Yeah, and then his grandmother and his girlfriend died on the same day.
Oh.
And he became a national story. And then all of a sudden, Manti Te'o's out the Heisman, finished second up to Johnny Manziel.
Yeah.
And I think who was the third guy? Was it Blaine Gabbert or the...
Ooh, hopefully not.
The quarterback from K-State, I think, was in that.
Ooh.
Quint or
Colin Klein?
Yeah, Colin Klein. He finished third, I believe, that year.
Oh, that's interesting.
But it, yeah,
I'll have to go check that out. That man, because really we were on the air, obviously talking about it, and it was so hard to believe. I mean, 3 years, a girlfriend you never met her.
But you know, there was all these rumors. Was Manti in on it and all that? Absolutely not. I mean, he got hook, line, and sinker, catfished. He's the most famous catfish person. Is that the most famous incident all time of catfishing?
Yeah,
he was like the first catfish.
That's the first time I ever heard the term.
Then it came out.
He didn't even know what the term meant until it was already happened to him.
I didn't know either until it was him who got catfished. Yeah. I knew there was a, I found out there was a TV show about it. No,
and,
I didn't
and
know.
And then it goes into the guy who was doing all of this was is now transitioning into becoming a different person.
Hey,
like, it is a wild story. Check it out.
All right, documentary Untold, Manti Te'o. I will say, he comes off as a very genuine person, and he's a sympathetic character. But
he is. No.
He's one of the more gullible people you ever meet, too, by the way.
Sure. No doubt. But you leave watching the show with a good sense of who Manti Te'o is and how bad he got took.
All right, real quick now, speaking of gullible, Fernando Tatis met with the general manager of the San Diego Padres yesterday for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
How do you think this went? So not only did Fernando Tatis break his wrist falling off a motorcycle at the very beginning of a $350 million 15-year contract, he then cheated the game by taking performance-enhancing drugs and got suspended for the rest of this season and part of next year, 80 games. And then his dad and his family came up with this crazy idea to lie and say it was ringworm. And that mom put out pictures saying he had a fungus and it was for something he was taking for a ringworm fungus. And his dad went on a radio show in Dominican Republic and said the same thing. Well, it turns out essentially what they did is they went and looked for something, what he tested positive for, tried to look for something that could trigger it, and it was ringworm. But here's the thing. What he tested positive for was something called Clostebol.
Okay, which is
no, which is not what cause. It's close.
Yeah,
it's like it's in the CL, but it's not the same.
Yeah.
So not only did he cheat, and then they lied about it. They made up the story, and they got the thing he got popped for wrong.
Stop digging the hole.
Stop.
Just no, own it. Take the L and move on.
I just wonder how that meeting went with the GM, because he's got 13 more years to go on that deal. He's 23 years old, and he's now not trustable.
But is all that money guaranteed?
Oh yeah. Oh, yeah. Welcome to Major League Baseball. We'll get into that story a little bit more next hour. Also, Zay, Pau Gasol going to have his jersey retired by the Lakers. You buying that? Pau Gasol?
Yeah, absolutely, because a lot of Kobe stans out there believe that Kobe did those last two rings, 09, 2010, by himself. Hell no. Pau Gasol was the truth.
Yeah, he was.
I also think he's in the Girlfriend Hall of Fame because for a long time he was dating the most flexible woman in the world. Like, that was her title. He was his girlfriend, the most flexible woman on the planet. Way to go, pal.
All right.
Put that banner up. Let's go to the air. Put that number up there. Let's go to the Blitz.
The Bucky and E Blitz.
The Morning Blitz brought to you by Apple Leasing, where you only have to pay for the new half of the car or truck, the half under factory warranty, in any make, any model. Click appleleasing.com and see how easy it is.
All right. First Blitzer, you're up on a Friday. Go strong.
You know, E, I was going to put it up. You drank too many Bud Lights when you picked your C as number six that night. But now you're doubling down and they're going to win the Pac-12. I'm going to have to insist that you put down the crack pipe.
Thank you very much. Now, the night at Cover 3, I did not have a single Bud Light.
Or but crack.
By the way, it was a group decision. I wasn't the only one that decided on USC. It was not me alone. Next, Blitzer, you're up.
Oh, I believe in Drew Brees' backup. Hey, all area Lowe's and Home Depot's today, in honor of last year's 5-7 record, Bud Light is going to be giving away free T-shirts that say receiving votes number 27, the beer of choice among all Longhorns and immigrant day laborers.
Oh, see, that's not nice at all. Next, Butcher, you're up.
40% pay raise. Damn. I think City Council and Buck Rogers are from California.
Called you Buck Rogers.
Like it.
That was it. You had a gapple. They dropped out. All right, good.
Good.
All right, we'll get back into that Tatis story. Also, back into the Longhorns, Steve Sarkisian. I'll let you hear from him again. Feels like he knows where he's going, but hadn't announced it yet. Big scrimmage tomorrow. Plus the Horn Top 20. Yes, we have USC with Lincoln Riley in control. Maybe a leap. Maybe a strong leap.
It's an all-star team.
But the portal has allowed them to, yes, assemble quite a talented group. Will they come together? We'll talk more about
like
that
Voltron.
Next hour. It's B&E with you. Zay Collier is here as well. 104.9, 101.9, AM 1260. Streaming always on the Horn app and at hornfm.com.